Okay, we're up to Pasuk Yud. We just started yesterday. All we did yesterday was the Mitzvah stuff. I'll read the Pasuk again. I'm sorry. Pasuk Yud Beis. Haloi ato mikedem Hashem Elokai kidoshi. This is an expression that we said yesterday, an expression of Elokai neshama. Haloi is it not so? Ato you. You Hashem, you are. Mikedem. From time immemorial. From the past. Hashem Elokai kidoshi, you are Hashem. Elokai Hashem, my God. Kidoshi, my Holy One. Loi namus. And therefore, how the words loi namus follow from this pasuk has to be explored. But loy namus, we will not die. Hashem lemishpat samtoi. Hashem you lemishpat. You have, let's read the words backwards. According to the parish of the Mitzvah Stavah, the subject of the word samtoi is Nebuchadnezzar. You have established. The word samtoi means, in this context, established. Established him. Samtoi. You have established him, Nebuchadnezzar, lemishpat. To use as a tool to exercise justice in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is not with the program, and they are in need of judgment. You have thus created and allowed this man, this evil man, Nebuchadnezzar, to rise to power and exist in order to use him as a tool of mishpat against your people. Vitzur. Tzur is parallels Hashem, another word for Hashem. Lohichiach. Yisadetoy, you have established him in order to be a tool of rebuke. Now before we see the Mitzudoy, the Rashi, I want to just tell you one machshava. There are two words here in this pasuk being in the second part of this pasuk being used to describe Hashem. The first word is Hashem, Yudke Vavke, and the second word is Tzur. Yudke Vavke is Kodesh. When a sofer writes a sefer Torah, tefillin, or a mezuzah, or neviim, there is an obligation for the sofer to say l'shem kiddushas Hashem. In fact, he must go to the mikvah. If he doesn't go to the mikvah, then the sefer Torah is posel. It's an incredible chumah. What do you find? What do you find in halacha? The mikvah has such, you know, it's very interesting. I didn't even think about this. The soferim now are having a very big problem. I didn't even realize this. The soferim now cannot go to mikvah. I mean, I don't know what they're. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they have a solution, but all the mikvahs are shut. Now the mikvahs for nashim, that's another story. But certainly the mikvahs that the soferim used to go to mikvah are locked down. They cannot write Hashem's name without first going to the mikvah. So what are they doing? So Bishlam in the Sefer Torah, okay, you can skip all the Shemais, and you can come back at the end and say, go to mikvah, and say L'shem Kiddushas Hashem, and go to mikvah. But you should know that today that's not accepted. Even though that is the halacha, today the minhag ha-soferim is that they go to mikvah for the entire Sefer Torah, by and large. And I remember I told you the story a long time ago. There was a sofer. There was a sofer in Eretz Yisrael, and he forgot to go to the mikvah, and he began writing a Sefer Torah. He was in the middle of writing a Sefer Torah, and he forgot to go to the mikvah, and he wrote a couple of lines, and there were no shemos. He did not write Hashem's name. He just wrote regular. And then he realized, wait a minute, I forgot to go to the mikvah. So he went to the mikvah. He then went to, I think, I don't remember who it was. I think it was of Shlomo Zalman Arbach. It was either of Shlomo Zalman Arbach or Abel Yashif. I always interchange, I always forget the stories of those Gedolei Yisrael. And he asked him, do I have to tell, is it necessary to tell the Moicher, the Lekeach, the buyer of the Sefer Torah, that I did not go to the mikvah for these couple of lines? Because according to the halacha, you don't have to. There's absolutely no obligation. You only have to go to the mikvah if you write Hashem's name. And the psak was that being that today the standards are so high, and the minhag is that when straight from today write even one letter in the Sefer Torah, they do go to mikvah. Yeah, you should tell the person who's going to buy the Sefer Torah from you that you should know the whole Sefer Torah is written. I went to the mikvah, but there were four lines that I did not go to the mikvah. You should tell them, and they should know about it. It's not likely. I don't know. Will they be makbud or not? I don't know. I have no clue. And that's why today by a seum Sefer Torah, they very often make an announcement and they let it be known that if you want to put a drop of ink into a letter, we're not going to allow you unless you go to the mikvah. Why? You don't have to. The answer is, listen, the whole Sefer Torah was written by a sefer who went to the mikvah before he wrote. So we're not going to let you ruin it at the very end for the last three, four lines. Your little drop of ink should be put there by a person who did not go to the mikvah. So if you go to the mikvah, we'll let you put a drop of ink in the Sefer Torah. And if you do not go to the mikvah, you can sit next to him and we'll take a picture and you can hold his feather and it'll be very, very nice. It'll be very, very nice picture. But we're not letting you put the drop of ink in the Sefer Torah because we don't want to ruin it. It's just not right. A whole Sefer Torah was written. Gesundheit, the whole Sefer Torah was written by going to the mikvah and just one line, which we should allow this to happen. So we see over here this principle. We do over here learn this very important principle that a person, the Kedushas Hashem. Now, going back to this pasuk here. Here it says we have two Shemos for Hashem. Hashem, Lemishbat Samtoi. And then it says, V'tzur Lohichiach Yisadatoi. This poetic repetition, right? It's beautiful, it's poetry. Both halves of this pasuk, in essence, are saying the same thing. They're saying that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in charge, and he has allowed an evil man, Nebuchadnezzar, to rise to power, to use him as an instrument to rebuke the Jewish people. And we repeat this idea. Hashem Lemishpat Samtoi V'tzur Lechich Yisadatoi. We repeat it twice, but there's a really a major difference. The first half refers to Hashem in His full glory, Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's a holy shame. You're not allowed to say this in vain. This has to be written b'kedusha uvetahara. The word Tzur is a reference to Hashem, but nowhere do we find the word Tzur is kodesh. So why is it so? The answer is, Mishpat is not physical. Mishpat is justice. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he's in charge. He rules the world. He, at the end of the day, everything, hakol al, everything is mesudar. Everything makes sense. Everything is in its right place. The second half of the pasuk that says lechoychiach has a connotation of physical pain, suffering, rebuke. The actual musar, the moment of rebuke, is a very painful moment. You hear such horrible reports of death and suffering. It's a very painful experience. Hashem's name in His full glory is not, the Yudke Vavke is not mentioned. Because you can't. Because we are lacking in understanding, and it's almost like a chilul of Hashem's name. In the base Ovel, you don't say, Hashem, Yinachem Eschem, Besorch Shar Ve'elitzion V'yushalayim. Why don't you say Yudke Vavke? What's so terrible? When you give a bracha and you give it to you could say Hashem's name. When you mispalel, you give a bracha, Me'ikir Hadin. It's not Levatala. Saying Hashem's name Levatala is when you just say Hashem's name. But when Hashem's name is used as part of a tefillah, there's no, you say the Yihirat signs, all these Yihirat signs, there's nothing wrong. Why don't you say Yud Kei Vav Kei in the base Avel? And the answer is, the Avelim are in pain. It's not a time when you can expect a person, even the one that's coming to give comfort, to connect, to be in a frame of mind where they appreciate the sanctity of Hashem. It's not possible. I know there are 100 perushim for why you say hamokim, not the Haggadah hamokim. There are many very deep perushim of why we say amokim, and all of those perushim only enter into the picture after we answer the basic question, why don't we say yudke vavke? The word hamokim is efes kineged saying yudke vavke. To say Hashem's name yudke vavke, this is Hashem. What are you substituting yudke vavke with the word hamokim, and then printing a whole sefer to explain the depth of what it means hamokim? Why can't you just say yudke vavke and finished? The answer is, an ovel doesn't daven, an oinein doesn't daven. He doesn't do, does not make brachos. An oinein is not in a frame of mind to connect to yudke vavke. We're only human beings. There's only that much HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from us. To say yudke vavke in such a matzav, who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? You can now appreciate Hashem in His full glory. Who are you fooling? When you're in a matzav of tzar, your mind, you're not there. And it's not the time at that moment to say, to make brachos, to daven, and oinin, b'shosh, meisoy, mutul lefonov. There's nothing to do. It's, and then to get back into the world of reality takes a long time. During Shiva, don't give comfort with the word yud ke vav ke. Hamokim, there's a gradual return to coming close to Hashem. Me'ikar hadin, in the base of it, you're not supposed to say tiskabel. We all do it today. It's almost unheard of not to do it, but when you say the Kaddish Sholem at the end of each tefillah, it's really brought down that you're not supposed to say Tiskabel Tziloisayim, may Hashem you accept our prayer. Why not? Why is that so? And the reason is because we're not in a frame of mind at the time of Avelos where we can really fool ourselves in thinking that we can come and in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam be Oimed Lifnei HaMelech. Tiskabel Tziloisayim is the summary of the entire tefillah. Just like on Tisha B'Av, we do not say Tiskabel Tziloisayim because it's a moment of B'Shah Shemesoy Mutul Lefonecha. We're not in the frame of mind where we can say such a thing. Likewise, in the Beis Ovel, Me'ikar Hadin, it's not a time when we can say Tiskabel Tziloisayim. Now, let me just, for the record, to keep the record straight, that's not our minug. Our minug is that we do indeed say Tiskabel Tziloisayim in the Beis Ovel. That's clearly the minug. I've never seen it. It's not accepted today. They do, interesting, in the article Siddur for the Beis Ovel, they do actually make note that Meikar Hadin, it's not proper, it's not to be said, but that's not the common minute. In any event, I believe that's a pshat here, a little more depth in this expression. We are describing here in this pasuk, end of this pasuk, times of tsar, of punishment, of the Ribbono Shel Olam is coming to present himself that he is the boss. And thus, when it comes to the principle of Mishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaMelech HaMishpat, the theoretical concept, then you say Yud Ke Vav Ke. But when it comes to the principle of L'Hichiyach, the moment of pain, the moment of Yisurim, when Klal Yisrael suffers, when the people of Klal Yisrael are exiled, when there are people who are dying, when people are in physical pain, you can't say Yud Kei Vav Kei. you have to substitute the Yudke Vavke with a word that refers to Hashem from a distance. And in this pasuk, we use the word Tzur. Okay. Let's go and now see the Rashi. Rashi on page 590. If you have the article, then the truth, you know, the truth is, let's do one more pasuk because the Rashi brings the two pasukim together. Let us actually go into the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Tahor Einayim. The one who has pure eyes from seeing evil, the habit el amol loisuchol, and the one that is, we have to read these words backwards. It's very interesting that more often than now we have to read the word the pasuk backwards. The one that is loisuchol, the one that is unable to gaze to amol, to look at wrongdoing. Lama sabit baidim, why Hashem do you look at the baigin means a thief, a person who is unloyal, a betrayer. A baigin has many, many meanings. We have to really more precisely translate this. We'll see in the Mefarshim, in the Mitzudos Tzion,
traitor.
A traitor, okay, that's a great word, traitor. He doesn't even translate that over here. We'll have to see the stuff it. And in the Malbim, sometimes he also here does not translate a traitor. Love, why do you look at the traitors? Tacharish. This is a very, very famous pasuk, a very popular pasuk. It's all over Chazal. Why, Hashem, are you silent? Bivala rosha tzadik mimenu. When a rosha swallows up an individual who is more righteous than him. Okay, there's a lot of Ma'amar Chazal on this. This is a very powerful pasuk, but what we just need to look, let's look at the Mitzvah stuff just for our purposes until we get to the Ma'amar Chazal. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, in the Mitzvah stuff, on page 591, he writes, Tahar Naim, Ritzon Eloimar, Ulam, Tilunosihi al, Ki haloi ata. However, my complaint is as follows. This is what Chavakuk is saying. What is my complaint? My complaint is, you have pure eyes, Hashem. You do not look at Dovara. You are unable to look at transgression or at crime or at things that are crooked. The lama imkain tabid v'sashkiach b'voigdim lo seis lochem memsholem mudu. Why didn't you allow the voigdim, the traitors? Here we're referring specifically to Nebuchadnezzar. Why do you give them dominion, power? V'lama sachadish be'eish shaharasha mashkis es tzadik mimenu. When the rasha, he swallows, he destroys the one that is more righteous than him. Ch'oimer im omdam choto Yisrael. Just because the Jewish people have suffered, why are you delivering them in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar? Al-Kolponim, the Jewish people are better than him. If indeed, this is a very deep principle, we discussed this yesterday and the day before, as well, last week maybe a little bit, is that if Klal Yisrael is deserving of punishment, there are many ways to punish them. Why do you have to deliver them and punish them through the hands of Nebuchadnezzar? There are other ways to cause them to feel pain. I told you, today we're going through very difficult times. Today, you know, so many people have passed away. It's not real. It's every time I told you this many times, every time I look at my email, there's more bad news. The bad news just doesn't stop. And there's no one to blame. Every time whenever there's a car accident, or there's some act of terror, so we are very distracted. We're very distracted. We like to forget about what happened, and our mind plays games with us, and we look, oh, who's the perpetrator? Who can we blame? Can we blame this terrorist or that terrorist, this politician, this one, that one, the hit and run? Who saw the person that that responsible for this crime, and that's it's very distracting, because it takes away from the recognition that it's the Yad Hashem. And today, there's no one to blame. There's no one we can. There's no distraction. These last 3 weeks, there's nothing. There's no one to say, oh, we blame this one, blame that one. There's no distractions. The only thing to reflect upon is the Yad Hashem. And it's very heavy. It's very, very heavy when there's no one to blame. You have to look in the mirror and blame yourself. I don't say to blame yourself, but when you have to reflect that it's the Yad Hashem and there's no distractions, it's a very heavy, heavy Musar from Hashem. Habakkuk over here is complaining to Hashem. Here the Jewish people, they are deserving of Musar. They are deserving of Mishpat. Why, Hashem, are you delivering them in the hands of an evil, evil egomaniac, an evil dictator, a wicked person? In light of what's happening to us today, this challenge that Habakkuk is presenting to Hashem has new meaning. And that is when we suffer, we are ma'minim, b'nei ma'minim, and every time we experience tsar, there is a message from Hashem, and it's almost as if Habakkuk is saying they're not going to get it. In light of, they're going to be distracted. If Nebuchadnezzar is taking them into Golos, there's the distraction. He is the criminal. Justice. We're distracted from being makir that it's the Yad Hashem. Today, there's no distractions. There's no distractions. It's the Yad Hashem in the full force. Kiyad Hashem osis azois. There are no distractions. Until now, you learn this pasuk in Habakkuk, and you read the words of the Metzudas David. Why do you deliver in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar? There are other criminals that could have done the job that would be less painful. That's how we would focus. But if perhaps the focus of Habakkuk is the goal of suffering is to see the Yad Hashem, when there are distractions, it takes away that ability. Unfortunately, with great pain, we have a different look at these psukim here that appear in front of us. Now, before we go to Rashi, let's go back to the Bracha Lukai Neshama. The Bracha Lukai Neshama, look what it says. Elokai, my God, Neshama Shenosata Bi, the Neshama that you, Hashem, have given me, Tehoirohi, it is Tahor. Why did the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, when they formulated this Nusach, did they embed the words Tahorahi? Of course it's Tahor. What does Tahara of the Neshama have anything to do with the Nusach of saying to Hashem, Moida'ani lefonech Hashem olokai v'olokai v'osai, ribon kol ha'masim, adon kol ha'shamos. What's the relevance? Well, the answer appears to be very obvious now, because every expression from the Nusach HaTfilah is drawn from Pesukim in Tanakh, without any question. You have to just find the Pasuk, you have to find the right Pasuk. And now, this that we say every single day, it's not a coincidence that it's Pasuk before that we read, Pasuk Yudbeis begins, Haloi, is it not true? Atah, you Hashem, Mikedem, from time immemorial, you are the one that we call Hashem Elokai Kidoshi, which is basically the long version of Elokai. What can we want to say Elokai? What do you mean Elokai? It means you, Hashem, are my Elokai. And you have been my Elokai from the day I've been born. And I've woken up today. It's a renewal of life. I wake up in the morning. It's life. Loi nomos. The next words of the pasuk here are loi nomos. We should not die. Loi nomos. You are my God. Elokai kiddushi, my holy God, which we ask of you that we do not, that we should not die. And we, and in you, Hashem, we acknowledge everything that happens comes from you. In other words, basically, this pasuk is the long version of the word Elokai. When you wake up in the morning, that itself is an expression of loy nomos and an acknowledgement. You're here for a new day of Hashem lemishpat samto v'tzulachich yisadatoi, that you, Hashem, you're in control. And then the very next words are, you, Hashem, are tahor einayim. You are the source of tahara. Every neshama is a chelek me'elokai mimal. We have a principle that every neshama is a spark of the Ribbono shel Olam. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described here, after we say Elokai, the long version of Elokai, Hashem Elokai Kidoshi Loi Namus, the very first thing we say Hashem is Tehor Einayim. Hashem is pure, has pure eyes. It's no longer a surprise as to why in the Nusach HaTefillah when we say Elokai Nishama Shenasata Bi, which you have given to me, which comes from you, Tehoirahi, is pure. So this expression, it's incredible when you read this pasuk and then you read the expression, it's obvious that these two psukim had a major impact on Chazal when they formulated this nusach. See, in the article Siddur, they always write the source of the words. They always have numbers. They always have footnotes in the article Siddur. And anytime you'll have an expression that comes from a pasuk, they'll have a number, and you look on the bottom, and it'll tell you exactly where it came from. For example, over here, on this page that I'm looking at, in the article Siddur, there's a number 4 on the bottom, and it says, Al-Pi Iyoiv Lamed Ches Lamed Vav. And this number 4 is matched up on the page to Asher Nosan Lasechvi Vina. So I didn't look up the pasuk, but it says here, you've given to the Sechvi Vina. What in the world is the Sechvi? What is Vina? Is the Sechvi the rooster? Is the Sechvi the mind? The mind that has Seichel? What is exactly Lasechvi Vina? Well, one thing is for sure. The source of these words that Chazal have selected for this pasuk, for this expression, is drawn from Iyov, Perek Lamed Ches Lamed Vav. So if we were the editors of Art Scroll, now that we've learned Chavakuk, when we say Elokai Nishama Shenasata Bi Tahorehi, we would have to insert a footnote, and on the bottom of the page it should say, just like it should say, Alpi Chavakuk, Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel. To some degree, these two psukim have clearly had an impact on Chazal in the formulation of this expression. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yud Beis and Yud Gimel writes, the Atah, you Hashem, V'yat Omar Hanavi, Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Omar Hanavi, V'yata and you, Lama Sacharish L'chol Zois, why are you silent? Why, Hashem, are you silent L'chol Zois when you will witness what is taking place? Haloi Ata Mikedem Hashem Elokai Kidoshi Asher Loi Somus V'zeu Shekosuv Loi Somus Echod mitikune soifrim shebamikrohu shekine hakosuf v'chein v'hipachtem oisai. You have v'hipachtem oisai v'chein harbe. I'm not sure that we'll go look it up now in a moment. V'chein harbe amafarshim b'sifrei. Okay, let's read a few more words. We'll come back. Lufi tikun hasoifrim zeru perushai.
Did you notice the word change there?
Which word change? Explain to me what you mean.
It said lo somus, right?
Loi nom. I have here loi nomus. In my edition,
in the text, yeah.
In your edition, you have loi som with a sof instead of a nun.
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know. I hear what you're saying. In my edition, in the edition that I'm reading from, it says with a nun, loi nomus. And there are quotation marks around the words loy namus. Okay, that's the edition I have in front of me. You're saying that in your edition it says with a suf. So the question is, where did the article, when they printed this edition, where did they take their nusach from? They found all it was your edition a printer's error, or maybe not. Maybe Rashi had a different girsa. Okay, let's go further. Is Rabbi Mincha shy on this word? Loi namus. Okay, he goes on. He doesn't. Loi namus. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's go a little further in the Rashi. We'll come back to this. Lufi tikun asayvim zel perushai. Haloi.
What he's saying?
Okay, let's see.
What he is saying here.
We read the end. The end it explains. It reads the end. Haloi ato elokai mikedem kidoshi. Al titnenu lomus biyado. Do not allow us to die in his hands. So the tikkun seifrim is, may we not, v'zeu shakos of loy namus, echa mitikuni. What should it say? What should it say? He said, well, one more time. Let's read the words again one more time. Haloi ato amikedem Hashem elokai kidoshi. Asher, loy somus. Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. Ramichol, you're right. I made a mistake. Ramichol, Rabbeinu Michol, you're right. I made a mistake. Indeed, it says,
edition that I have, that's correct.
Okay, so over here he's saying is, it says it twice. What does it say? Read me the exact words of your edition.
Okay, let me read the whole piece here. Right? It says, who shall not die, bracket. The verse should read, lo somus.
With a suff.
You shall not die. Okay, end bracket. Now, the reason it is written lo nomus, we shall not die, is that it is one of the emendations, meaning edits, of the sofrim, which scripture euphemizes, okay, and then likewise in Malachi, and you sadden it, where it should read, you sadden me, Hashem. And so are many of these euphemisms explained in the Sifrei.
Okay, let me explain.
Yeah.
Okay, let me explain what I think it means. What I think it means is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, and he gave us a mission. He gave Klal Yisrael a sacred mission to achieve the Hoya Hashem Lemelech al Kol Haaretz Bayomahu Yehyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. It will be through Klal Yisrael we will achieve this goal, that Hashem's mission will be achieved. Now, I'm saying words which are very dangerous words, which are words that are, they cannot sound like they're apikorsis, and that's exactly what Rashi is addressing. If Klal Yisrael does not achieve the mission, it's Ki'ilu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can't say the word even, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu died. Now, that doesn't mean that's nonsense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chai V'Atohu Melech Chai V'Kayom. But in relation to the purpose of this particular world, there is a goal to be achieved in this world. If that goal is not achieved in this world, then it reflects bad on Hashem. Hashem created a world. He gave us a mission. The mission was meant to be fulfilled. And if it's not fulfilled, then it does not reflect well on Hashem. Chavakuk here is speaking with a lot of chutzpah. He's saying to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, what's going on here? You deliver your people in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, and you allow them to be destroyed? You allow the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed, and you allow them to be killed and exiled and assimilate in the world? Ribbono Shel Olam, who are you harming? You're harming yourself. You're the one that's going to be in the matzev, in the theoretical concept of Misa. Now Hashem is not a human being where you can say Misa. But if your goal is not going to be achieved, then the word Misa, we're going to apply the principle of Misa to you, Hashem. So we implore of you, stop this. What are you doing? What are you doing by allowing the Nebuchadnezzar to torture and to exile the Jewish people? By doing so, you're bringing kavayachal death upon yourself. Now, you can't say those words, because those words are apikursis. To say such words, what did you just say? How could you wash your mouth out to talk like that? So, Enochinami, along came the Seferim, meaning the way it's presented, and they changed it from somus to nomus. In other words, it could very well be that when Chavakuk said the words, when he actually expressed these words in his prophecy, he said the word somus. But when those who came along, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came along and put his words in writing, they were too laser sharp and dangerous to write such a harsh expression. So it was changed in the text to be read Loi Nomus. Okay, this is a very dangerous, a very, very dangerous principle called Tikkun Seferim. I remember there was a Rebbe, his name was Rabbi Brulovsky. This was before my time. I remember someone told this, but this sticks out of my mind. There was a Rebbe in Chaim Berlin.
Yeah, he was my son's Rebbe. He was a very well-liked Rebbe.
Is he around now? Do you know?
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Right. I don't remember. Something tells me. Okay. Whatever it is. But Rebbe Berlovsky, I hope he's alive and well. I remember he retired. I don't remember. Something sticks out of my mind that I can't place it. But I remember someone told me that we all used to grow up with the Balu Chumashim, the interlinear Balu, what was it called? Those blue interlinear Chumashim before Art Scroll came out. It was a line by line. We lived on these Chumashim, Chumash Rashi. And there, in the translation, it said the word, it had the word Tikkun Seferim, and it was translated in a way that he was very, very disturbed. Rabbi Lofsky, he was very disturbed how in this particular Chumash, how they translated the words of Rashi. I don't remember where it was. There's a pasuk in Rashi that says Tikkun Seferim, somewhere in Chumash. He was very disturbed, and he went around the entire classroom. He collected from every student their personal Chumash. He took it home or took it to the office, and he personally erased what it said in the Chumash, and he wrote his own translation of Tikkun Seferim. Because it doesn't mean, you can get misled to believe, is that the Chacham came along and they actually changed the text of the Chumash. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Shemayim, it said A, and the Chachamim took out an eraser and changed it to B. That's impossible. That's thoroughly impossible. But the translation that they gave in, that they wrote in that particular edition of the Chumash, of the Rabbi Rashi's translation, gave you that impression, is that the text that we have in front of us is not the original text. It was amended and edited by the Chachamim, which is clearly false. The principle of Tikkun Sofer means when the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Torah, he is already the one who made the edit. But the way the pasuk is written has a connotation that that's not what was meant to be said. What was meant to be said is one way, and the way it's written is a different way, because you just can't write the pasuk that way for different reasons. Just like you have very often a kivur sif, it's spelled one way, but it's pronounced another way. You have extra mole v'chaser, there are many different examples. Now those examples of kivur sif are not at the level of what we call tikkun sofer. Let's review. The best of my knowledge, there are really three different levels of what you see is not what you get. You know, there's in computers, they have on the screen what you see is what you get. There is a there are three different examples in Chumash on the Sefer Torah. What you see is not what you get. Number one, mole v'chaser. At times, words are padded with extra yuds and extra vavs. And sometimes those vavs and yuds are absent. And there's a mesora, we have a tradition, when you're supposed to add a yud, a chirik, when you have tzitzis, you can pronounce the word tzitzis whether you have two yuds or if you omit the two yuds. Pretty much, according to most opinions, the pronunciation is exactly the same. If you spell tzitzis with two yuds or no yuds. And in fact, in the Kriya Shema, sometimes there are two yuds, and sometimes there's one yud. And where do you put the one yud? You can put it here, you can put it there. So that is called the kri uchsif. And then, that's called the mole v'chaser. And then there's another level of kri v'chsif. The word is spelled one way. The way it's spelled in the Torah is one way. But the way we pronounce the word is different. Like, Yishkolena, okay. The ish acher yishkolena. A man, the Kohen HaMashiach says, is there a man here in the army who is engaged, who has done the first part of marriage, erison, but has not concluded the marriage? He shall leave the battlefield, because we don't want it to happen that there should be such a thing where a man is married to a woman and another man shall live with her. The word yishkolena is a very explicit term describing the act of a man living with a woman. That's not
a coarser term.
That's a coarse term. Chazal did not approve that this word should be said in public. So at the time of Kriyas HaTorah, although it is spelled in the Torah Yish Golena, which has a very harsh and precise translation, it's not min hanimus to say such a thing. It's not derech eretz to say such a word in public. So Chazal instructed us that when you read the word, you shall change the pronunciation. You shall read a different word, not the pronunciation. Read an entirely different word, but still in the text, it says that word. This is the derech eretz. This is just a sensitivity that Chazal had to how we should speak in public. And then you have a third level, which is over the top, and that's called tikkun sofrim, where the change is so, the need to make a change is so great, it wasn't enough just to print it the way it was meant to be, and then to express it, to say it in public different. The need was to actually, the text itself had to be changed. But who made that change? The one that made that change was not the Chachamim. That change was made by the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. Okay, so again, this Kedai to keep this in mind, there are three different levels, three different situations of where we have a text, and the way we pronounce the word, the way we say the word in public is not exactly the way it appears in the text, in the Sefer Torah that is resting upon the Bima. We have one example of a mole v'chaser, which truthfully speaking, the pronunciation really doesn't change if you have an extra vav or an extra yud, or you're missing the vav or you're missing the yud. It doesn't matter. it doesn't matter. But there's a tradition. Sometimes the word shall be written with a vav. Sometimes the word shall be written without a vav. The word kavod, honor, honor. So sometimes in the Torah, the word kavod is spelled with a vav. Chaf, vez, vav, dalid. And sometimes it's spelled chaf, vez, dalid, without the vav. When
in
there's a vav.
Week's Haftarah,
in last Haftarah, you had.
We had Eliyahu without a vav and Yaakov with a vav.
But there we read Eliyah. There we don't change the pronunciation. There we don't say Eliyahu. There in the Haftarah, the way it is spelled is the way we pronounce his name. Hini anochi shlochem eis Eliyah hanavi lifnei boyayim Hashem. Let me, in fact, go look at the Chumash right now. It's a very good point you're making. People get confused when they say that pasuk. Okay, Shabbos HaGadol. Hinei onoichi sholeach lachem eis Eliyo hanavi. You don't change the pronunciation. You don't change the pronunciation. It's spelled here Eliyo, and that's the way we pronounce it. Elsewhere in Tanakh and Chazal, we always refer to him as Eliyahu, but not in this pasuk. In this pasuk, what you see is what you get. But the first level is mole v'choser, kavoid. Is kavoid spelled with a vav or without a vav? It depends. Sometimes there's a vav, sometimes there is no vav. When Yosef said to his brothers, go back to my father and tell my father about all of my kavod, asher isem, it's spelled with a vav. When it says about Yaakov Avinu, or it says about Lot, kavod, when he describes his wealth there, it says kavod without a vav. And Chazal come and explain, they explain the difference between why one place is there a vav, one place is there not a vav. Okay, but that's called a mole v'choser. And then there is a kri v'chsif. It's spelled in the Torah one way, but the way we pronounce it is different for various reasons. And then there is the out of the ballpark home run of our example called a tikkun soifrim. The need to change what is being said is so great, we did not rely upon you to remember, to make that change, but instead the way it was written already included the change. And what is the example over here? Over here, Chavakuk is speaking with incredible chutzpah. Be'ikvasod the Mashiach chutzpah yaskei. Chavakuk is one of the last Nevi'im. And he's saying, Ribono shel Olam, what in the world is going on here today? What in the world are you doing? I cannot accept what I see in front of me. You allow this to happen? Hashem, do you want to die? Lama samus. Why are you committing suicide, Hashem? Now, that's like almost to say such words, if someone was saying those words in yeshiva, the Rebbe would take him to the sink and wash out his mouth with soap to say such words. But there is depth to those words. There is meaning to those words. And the meaning is, Ribono shel Olam, we are a chelek me Elokai mimal. Elokai nishama shenasata bi tohoirihi ata virasa ata yitzarta ata nefachta bi v'ata mesham bekirbi. We are an expression, we are a breath of we are an example of your breath. You have blown us into our bodies. Our neshama has come from you. If we die, kaviyochol, you are absent. There's an absence for you. There's an element of misa that's happening to you. Loma somos. What are you doing to yourself? Why do you want to commit suicide, kaviyochol? You say such horrible, crazy words. You can't say such words. But that's really what he said. That's really what Chavakuk said. And that's really what he meant. But not everyone really understands the depth of that lesson. Not everyone comes to the morning kolo virtually in this meeting room on Erev Pesach to understand the depth of that principle. And therefore, it's such a dangerous statement, we can't rely upon a kriv chsiv. We got to go for the jugular. And the jugular is that even when they put it down in print, it had to be changed to lomo no nomus. Why should we die? Why should we have to die? You, Hashem, you're not going nowhere. V'atohu melech kel chai v'kayam. Yibayin Shalai Olam is infinite. He was here before the world existed. He will be here after the world existed. V'atohu kel melech chai v'kayam. Why should we die? What do we do wrong? But it's not really what he said. Chavakuk really said lomo somos. But you got to be a real London, a real Amkan, to fully appreciate the depth of what he meant to say. And not everyone is with the, not everyone is ready for that. And therefore, it had to be written differently. But those who are wise, those who have insight into the pasuk, can clearly identify that this is not exactly what Chavakuk said. And this principle is called a tikkun soifrim. And unfortunately, not everyone even understands what a tikkun soifrim is. And that's why this story always echoes in my mind with Rabbi Berlovsky, who collected all of the chumashim that he had, that the children had in their possession, because it disturbed him so much to see how they mistakenly translated the words in Rashi, tikkun soifrim, which gave the children the impression that the text they have in front of them is not the text that was given to Moshe Mitzrayim, but was edited by the rabbis. And he was not happy with the translation, which would easily lead them to make that mistake. He collected the chumashim, took them home, and he rewrote a more precise translation of the word tikkun soifrim, so they should appreciate the depth of what tikkun soifrim is all about. Okay, so let's go look at, yeah.
In my edition, there's a footnote, and the Rashi Tevos Saf Ayin Tachas Samus. Now, I'm not sure what Saf Ayin is.
Saf Ayin. Read the Hebrew of your edition. Read the Hebrew entirely.
No, footnote. It's a footnote. It says Saf Ayin Tachas Samus. In other words, on the, there's an asterisk over Namus, and then it says Saf Ayin, but it doesn't mean Ta'u Sofrim, that would be, or Tikkun Sofrim.
Tough Ayin, I have no idea. What does Tough Ayin stand for? I have no idea. I really don't know. Maybe we'll see as we go along in the forest, maybe we'll get a better appreciation. So let's read the words of Rashi one more time. The words of Rashi are Haloi Amar Hanavi. The Navi says, V'yata lama sacharish l'chol zois. Notice here, I always tell you, I tell you every single day, never read a pasuk in Navi sequentially. Never read it in order. Always look at a pasuk as a puzzle and extract the words as you go along to make it should make sense when you translate it into English or for that matter into any language. Rashi here goes a step further, and he tells us, don't just read the pasuk out of order, read the psukim out of order. Take pasuk yud beis with yud gimel, and read the psukim backwards. Make believe pasuk yud beis and yud gimel is one long pasuk. And when you translate, it's a big, big puzzle. You know, there are jigsaw puzzles, 100-piece jigsaw puzzle, and there are jigsaw puzzles for 1,000, and there are 5,000, there are 10,000. They are very, very big jigsaw puzzles. So here, if it would be one pasuk, it would be a small jigsaw puzzle. Here, we're making it into a massive jigsaw puzzle by combining two pasukim together and telling you how to figure out which pasuk, which word you should extract first. And the first word to extract, the first words are, just to begin the translation, Sacharish Bivala. He takes the word Tacharish. Omar Hanavi. The Atah. You. Loma Sacharish Lucholzos. He takes the word Loma in Pasuk Yud Gimel. He starts his translation. Loma. Why? And then he jumps to the word Sacharish. Why are you silent, Hashem? V'ata lama Sacharish l'cholzos. Why are you quiet? You've been around from the very beginning. Haloi ata mikedem Hashem Elokai kidoshi. You've been around from the very beginning. Asher loisomos. Is it not in your interest? He's telling us what the Navi really said. Is it not in your interest that you should not die? That you, Hashem, should not die? And being that we are an extension of you, if we die, that means that part of you has perished. Oh, but it does not say the word somos. It says the word nomos. V'zeh shekosov loy nomos with the nun, we, the nun is we should not die, instead of the sof, which would mean you should not die. This is one echad mitikune seifrim shebemikra. It's one of the multiple tikune seifrim in Chumash and Tanakh, who shekina hakosov, which the pasuk itself did not leave anything to chance, itself edited as it was written. It's a different sugi, which is not for now. That's another pasuk in Malachi. Mirtzim, we'll get to there at one point in time. Mirtz Hashem, halavai. The rebellion of Shalom should be good to us to let us survive. And there are many other examples of this in the Sifrei. The Sifrei is the Medrash on Bamidbar and Devarim. Over here he says Sifrei. Sifrei are two books. Medrash, Halacha. There are two and Bamidbar and Devarim. Ulefi tikun ha-soifrim, according to this principle of tikun soifrim, zehu perushoi, this is what it means. Haloi ata elokai mikedem kidoshi, is it not so that you Hashem are been around mikedem kidoshi? Al titneinu lomus biyado, do not allow us to die. But you Hashem, the ato who kel chai v'kayam. Yatu melech kel chai. We say this in Nusach on the Yom of the Yom Noiroim. Okay, next words. Next words are Hashem la mishpat samtai. Hashem, you have established him la mishpat. Yodati kiloi hemadatai lezem ela lishpoit boy es hamordim b'cha. The only reason why you have created this individual, Nebuchadnezzar, is to use him as an instrument to judge us, to judge those that rebel against you. Why do you allow this to continue? Haloi tahor einayim ata meirois bera. Ribbono shel olam, you have tahor einayim, you don't look at raw. You don't look el amol to transgression. Tzadik mimenu shumisame es einei tzidkiyahu. How do you not know? Over here he's saying something very, very powerful. Bivala rasha, when the rasha swallows up the tzadik mimenu. Okay, there's a famous Chazal, but Rashi here is telling us something very, very interesting, something very, very fascinating, extremely fascinating. We know that Nebuchadnezzar, when he captured Tzidkiyahu, Tzidkiyahu tried to escape. At the very, very end of the siege, after 11 years after the Golos of Yehoyachin, after Nebuchadnezzar, he took Yehoyachin down to Bavel, there was a new king appointed. In fact, it was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar himself, Tzidkiyahu. And they made a treaty, they made a bris. The bris was that as long as you pay taxes, as long as Nebuchadnezzar, the Klal Yisrael pays tax, Nebuchadnezzar is not going to harm Klal Yisrael. Came to a point in time where he decided to rebel. He also violated a shavuah. There was one point in time when Tzidkiyahu was invited to a summit in Bavel, and he was together with Nebuchadnezzar, and he caught Nebuchadnezzar eating live animals, eating animals, Eiver Minachai. And Tzidkiyahu and Nebuchadnezzar made him swear that he would not reveal this information. He betrayed him, he swore, and then later revealed the information, whatever it was. At the end was Nebuchadnezzar, he captured Yerushalayim, he captured Tzidkiyahu, and it says that he blinded the eyes of Tzidkiyahu. I once saw in a sefer, I don't remember where I saw this, I don't know if this is a medrash, somehow it sticks in my mind that it's Rav Tzadok says this. Could be totally wrong, but this sticks out in my mind, is that Tzidkiyahu did not physically blind, Nebuchadnezzar did not physically blind the eyes of Tzidkiyahu. What he did was, he forced Tzidkiyahu to watch him murder his 10 sons. Tzidkiyahu had 10 sons. Nebuchadnezzar took his 10 sons and brutally murdered them in front of Tzidkiyahu. The pain that Tzidkiyahu experienced seeing his 10 sons be murdered in front of his eyes was so great, it caused him to physically lose his eyesight. That's what it means, he blinded his eyes. Doesn't just mean that he poked out his eyes. Actually, the tsar that he gave him by what he did, the brutality of what he did to his children, blinded his eyes. So here, he's telling us something very, very powerful. According to the Rashi, Rashi is telling us the fact that it says here in Pasuk Yud Gimel, you, Ribono Shel Olam, are tahor einayim, have pure eyes. How do you tolerate an event where a tzaddik loses his eyesight? How do you allow that? If you, Hashem, have pure eyes, how could you witness a tzaddik who also has pure eyes? How do you allow him to lose his eyesight? And this refers to, how do you allow Nebuchadnezzar to commit the crime of murdering the 10 children of the Melech of Klal Yisrael, the descendant, the blood descendant of David HaMelech? How do you allow this? Now, in the process, Rashi is telling us that Tzidkiyahu was a tzaddik. You know, it's not very often the Torah calls an individual a tzaddik. Torah is very, very critical. The Torah, Tanakh, is in the business of super duper magnifying the minor, teeny imperfections of a human being. To call a person a tzaddik is extremely rare. Who do we call a tzaddik? Tzaddik is Noach. Is there anyone in Tanakh that's called a tzaddik? Openly? Can anyone help me? I think it's only Noach. Noach ish tzaddik. Tamim Noach ish tzaddik. Noach is called an ish tzaddik. He was the only one that's called a tzaddik. Is there anyone that is in Chumash called a tzaddik?
My wife says also Yosef.
Chazal called Yosef a tzaddik. Yosef had tzaddik. Chazal called Yosef a tzaddik. What do you need to get to be zoich to be called a tzaddik? So there are different explanations. Some say if you support someone, if you tzedakah by supporting poor people, you earn the title tzaddik. Noach supported all of the creatures of Hashem in the Teva for one complete year. Yosef supported his brothers in the years of famine. By supporting someone who is in need, you earn the title tzaddik. Other Mefarshim say a person earns the term tzaddik if he is oimed in a very great test, a nisoyen. Yosef, by being oimed in the nisoyen of Eshes Potifar, he earned the title tzaddik. Noach suffered the nisoyen of the marble. Hashem said to him, there's going to be a marble, and he was instructed to build a teva for 120 years, and he was ridiculed. The people came and said, Noach, what is this mishigas? You're building a teva, the world's not going to be destroyed. What kind of nonsense is this? He was oimed in the terrible bezioinos that was heaped upon him to fulfill the word of Hashem. That is what entitles you to the term tzaddik. Now, I believe there's another reason which escapes me at this moment. There's another reason why a person earns the word tzaddik. But generally, we're in Tanakh. Am I making? Is there anyone that's called a tzaddik besides Noach? I'm not sure. In this pasuk, according to Rashi, Rashi is injecting into his parish that Tzidkiyahu is a tzaddik. We also call Yoshiyahu a tzaddik. Because Yoshiyahu was matzik olav es hadin. When Yoshiyahu died, when Paro Nechoi shot 300 arrows, his army shot 300 arrows into his body and perforated it like a sieve, and he died in the battlefield, his last words were, Tzadikhu Hashem ki pihu morisi. Hashem is righteous. Here, in this pasuk, according to the parish of Rashi, Bivala Rosho, Tzaddik mimenu. Rashi is defining who the Rosh is, and it is, and who is the Tzaddik. The Rosh is Nebuchadnezzar, and the Tzaddik is Tzidkiyahu. And in fact, this whole name, the very name of Tzidkiyahu, is very, very good. In essence, even better than Noach, because Noach was called Noach, but he was called a Tzaddik. Tzidkiyahu's essence, his name, the name which captures the identity of the person, is Tzidkiyahu is tzaddik. He also was matzdik olav es hadin, that he did not listen to the words of Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu told him very clearly, surrender. Surrender to Nebuchadnezzar and he will not kill you. He will not kill anyone. He will not exile the Jews. Surrender. And Tzidkiyahu was not able to overcome public pressure. The public pressure was so great, even the tzaddik Tzidkiyahu was unable to overcome it, and he did not surrender. He rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. He continued to rebel, and that's why the Mikdash was destroyed, and they were exiled, whatever. And the details are there. There's much more information than that. But he rebelled. So we have a very big problem, because Chazal in some places clearly described Tzidkiyahu as a Rasha, as a very evil person, because he disobeyed the command of the Navi. Yet, his very name connotes that he was righteous. His name was Tzidkio. The root letters are Tzedek. Tzedek, which relates to Tzadik. And here in this Pasuk, Rashi is not embarrassed to say outright that Tzidkiyahu is a Tzadik. So that is all about the complexities of life. In life, every human being has multiple dimensions. Every single person is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on steroids. Every person has many personalities, many dimensions. At times he's a tzaddik, at times he's a rasha, at times he's a tam, and at times he's a she'eino yodea lishol. And at times he's the other two sons. See, the truth is that my father, there are really six children at the Haggadah, at the Seder. There's the Chacham. The Chacham is the wise guy. There's the Rasha, the Tam, the She'eino Yodea Lishol. Number five is the Tzaddik. The Tzaddik is quiet. He knows what to ask. He has plenty what to say. Plenty what to say, but he's quiet and he's sitting at the table. And then Rachmana Litzlan is the child that did not even show up to the Seder. So there are really six children that come to that are part of the Seder. The tzaddik, there's no questions. He has what to ask, he has what to say, but he knows how to keep his mouth shut. The Chacham is the wise guy. The Rasha, the evil child. The Tam, the simple, the naive child. And the She'eino Yodea Lishol is the child that he needs help. And then there's the child, Rachmana Litzlan, already quit. He quit. He's not even here at the Seder, Rachmana Litzlan. These are the six children of the Haggadah. And here it says here that who is the father of Tzidkiyahu? Yoshiyahu was their father, if I'm not mistaken. Yoshiyahu when he made a seder, Tzidkiyahu was not the Chacham, was not the Rasha, was not the Tam, not the Sheni of the Elishol, not the one that didn't show up. He was the Tzaddik. The Pasuk clearly calls him a Tzaddik. So we have over here a couple of people to add to our list of Tzaddikim. Noach Ish Tzaddik. Yosef HaTzaddik. And then we have Yoshiyahu, who Chazal also called a Tzaddik, because he said, Tzaddik, he's the one who said those words. Tzaddikhu Hashem ki pihu marisi. And then we have Tzidkiyahu, whose very name comes from the root of Tzaddik. And the Pasuk, in fact, says, Tzaddik mimenu, in this Pasuk, which is a reference to Tzidkiyahu. Okay, Rabbi, so we're going to stop here. We're going to take a short break. And then in a few minutes, we'll come back and we're going to learn some Haggadah. Maybe it will very quickly review some of the halachas of the matziv, of what we're dealing with for this year, Pesach. But I want to spend some time going over a few more things on the Haggadah before we wrap it up for Yom Tov. Okay, I'll see you back in 2 minutes.
Rabbi Levine, what about Yehuda called Tamar, Tzadkamimeni,
Good point. Tzadkamimeni. She's more righteous than me. That implies that they're both tzaddikim. She's more righteous than me, so I'm a tzaddik and she's a tzaddik. Just that she's more of a tzaddik than me, but we're both tzaddikim. He gave himself a compliment in the process. Good point. Do you find Chazal calling Yehuda tzaddik? I don't know. I'm not aware. Do we find anyone calling Tamar tzaddik? Tzaddikis? I'm not aware. It's an expression. It's an expression, but doesn't necessarily mean you earn it.